This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
This episode is brought in part to you by Audible, your go-to destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Whether you're looking for a hair-raising experience to enjoy while you're on the move or eager to dive into sinister and shocking tales, Audible has an exclusive collection of thrillers from best-selling authors that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Like James Patterson's first audio-only thriller, The Coldest Case. Experience stories like never before, where every chilling detail is brought to life by captivating sound design. Plus, as an Audible member, choose one title a month to make yours forever. And now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers. Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and your tushies do too. No matter what kind of butt you've got, you'll feel comfy while your baby's mushy little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around. Get your baby butt in the best-fitting diaper. Huggies Little Movers. We got you, baby.
Tonight, the investigation into the Colorado massacre. As police charge a 21-year-old with 10 counts of murder, what we're learning about the horrifying moments inside and the extraordinary acts of heroism. Terror in the supermarket. The new eyewitness accounts as the shots rang out and the key details about the alleged gunman. His previous run-in with police, the weapon he bought a week ago, and why family and friends say he was angry. The workers and shoppers who lost their lives. And the father of seven, the first officer on the scene, gunned down the emotional tributes tonight. Witness to a nightmare. The quick-thinking shopper who filmed the horror unfolding.
Oh, my God.
Telling CBS News,
another friend of mine was not able to make it out.
Call to action. President Biden lowering the flags at the White House and raising the stakes in the gun debate.
We can ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines.
Also tonight, vaccine setbacks. AstraZeneca accused of using partial data to announce its vaccine trial results, plus the growing concern that millions of doses of another shot could be delayed. Children of the crisis. New video inside those facilities for unaccompanied minors and the smuggler showing CBS News how he sneaks people across the border. Long delays and failed deliveries. The Postal Service's plan to overhaul mail delivery. Will it mean longer waits and higher prices? And they call him the handyman with a heart of gold. But it's his kidney that turned out to be priceless.
This is the CBS Evening News with Nora O'Donnell, reporting from the nation's capital.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us. Nora is off. I'm Margaret Brennan. We're going to begin with breaking news on the fast-moving investigation into that massacre at a Boulder, Colorado supermarket. Tonight, a 21-year-old suspect is in jail, charged with murdering 10 people, including the first police officer at the scene. Investigators say while they still don't have a motive, the alleged shooter, Ahmed Al-Issa, seen here in handcuffs after the shooting, was known to police. And they say he had just bought a high-power rifle last week. Family members say he was troubled, antisocial, and angry. And none of that is any comfort to the families of the victims who died, men and women, working in the King Super store or just doing one of the most mundane tasks of American life, buying their groceries. Tonight, we're getting new details about the accused gunman, about the lives he took, and we're hearing from the man who live-streamed the shooting on his phone. Plus, President Biden is weighing in, opening up a new debate about gun control after the second mass shooting in America in just a week. We've got several reports tonight, beginning with CBS's Omar Villafranca, live in Boulder, Colorado. Good evening, Omar.
Margaret, the emotions here in Boulder are still raw. And while police are still processing the scene behind me, there's a growing memorial in front of the supermarket. You can see flowers and cards left by strangers. After 10 people were killed, the big question that remains unanswered is why.
21-year-old Ahmed Al-Lissa is now in the Boulder County Jail, charged with 10 counts of first-degree murder. His capture at the end of the almost hour-long rampage caught on a live stream. Al-Lissa, in handcuffs, in nothing but shorts, blood running down his right leg.
Can you tell us at all if anything about the suspect's injuries in the hospital?
He suffered a leg wound. It was a through-and-through wound to his leg, midsection of his leg.
Look, there's... Holy shit.
Reports of gunfire started around 2:40 p.m. Monday afternoon. According to arrest documents, witnesses say they saw the gunman shoot a male in his car, and they saw the gunman shoot an elderly man in the parking lot before walking up to him and shooting him several times. Emergency crews were dispatched while shots were still being fired.
All right, looks like we have an active shooter.
Ryan Borowski was inside the store getting something to drink when he heard a gunshot.
The first gunshot was confusion. Everything seemed silent.
What did you think it was?
I thought it might have been a big piece of sheet metal employee dropped. The only option for me was run.
Borowski managed to escape through the loading docks. According to the arrest document, Al-Lissa was taken into custody by a SWAT team, leaving behind a green tactical vest, a rifle, and a semi-automatic handgun. Police say gun records show he bought a semi-automatic rifle on March 16, 2021. 10 others didn't make it out, including Boulder Police Officer Eric Talley, the first to arrive on the scene, a 10-year police veteran and father of seven. A visibly shaken Boulder Police Chief Maris Harrell says it's a painful day for the department, but her officers will continue to do their jobs.
Don't lose your compassion, and we'll get through this.
Al-Lissa grew up 30 miles south of Boulder. His family migrated from Syria. Al-Lissa's brother spoke to the Daily Beast and said he was mentally ill, paranoid, and was very antisocial. Police are still looking for a motive.
I do want to stress that the investigation is really in its early stages, and we're going to work incredibly hard to see it through to completion.
Police records show that Al-Lissa had one misdemeanor charge of assault while he was in high school. A source also tells CBS News that they're looking into his online background to see if he could have been influenced by anyone online. And so far, Margaret, they say they don't have any evidence of that.
Omar, thank you. Tonight, as Boulder mourns, we are learning more about those who lost their lives and hearing from the witness who streamed the horror live online. Here's CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti.
Someone's down right here.
Millions watched Dean Schiller's live stream.
Guys, we got people down inside King Soopers. Look, there's... Holy...
When did it become clear to you something was very wrong?
Soon as I saw that body on the ground. Right.
Schiller had just left the King Soopers ahead of his friend Denny Stong, who was still paying for his lunch at the register.
There's a shooter! Active shooter! Get away!
What Schiller didn't know during his live stream was that Stong would be among the victims.
He was a really smart kid. He was training to be an airline pilot.
The 10 victims range in age from 20 to 65. Lynn Murray was a retired mother of two, filling an Instacart order. Terry Leiker, 51, worked at the store for 31 years. And Eric Talley of the Boulder Police was the first one on the scene. The 51-year-old father of seven ran straight inside, but never made it out.
I was devastated when I heard the news.
We spoke with his father by phone from his home in Texas.
He started at the bottom and worked his way up.
Talley had quit his computing job at age 40 to join the Boulder Force. He was also the kind of dad who taught all his children the Heimlich maneuver in case they'd ever need to save a life. one actually did. When Officer Talley's body was removed from the scene last night, it followed a long procession. Scores of first responders lined the street in salute. And after hearing of his death, his younger sister tweeted, "I cannot explain how beautiful he was. Fly high, my sweet brother."
And Talley was followed by other first responders who ran inside to help save lives. The governor visited Boulder today and had this to say about the scene: horror and terror as people shopped for milk and eggs. Margaret.
Jonathan Vigliotti, thank you. We turn now to the White House, where today President Biden called on Congress to strengthen gun laws. But that's expected to run into tough opposition in the Senate. Here's CBS's Weijia Jiang.
President Biden's order to lower the flag honoring victims in Colorado came after it was just raised last night following the Atlanta shooting.
Another American city has been scarred by gun violence and resulting trauma. And a state that I even hate to say it because we're saying it so often, my heart goes out.
The president urged lawmakers to immediately ban assault rifles and high-capacity magazines.
This is an American issue. It will save lives, American lives, and we have to act.
But Mr. Biden knows how difficult this will be. After the Sandy Hook massacre in 2012, President Obama asked him to come up with a package of gun control measures. None were passed by Congress. Today, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer vowed to push two House bills that would expand background checks.
This Senate will be different.
But even West Virginia Democrat Joe Manchin said he won't support the legislation. During a Judiciary Committee hearing about guns, Texas Republican Ted Cruz blasted it too.
Democrats propose taking away guns from law-abiding citizens. What they propose, not only does it not reduce crime, it makes it worse.
In the wake of the Atlanta shootings, where six of the victims were Asian women, Democratic senators are demanding more representation for Asians among high-level administration positions. Tonight, Tammy Duckworth of Illinois and Mazie Hirono of Hawaii say they will block the president's nominees if they are not diverse until they get a commitment from the White House. Margaret?
And that will get attention. Thank you, Weijia. Tonight, there are new questions about the effectiveness of AstraZeneca's COVID vaccine. Health officials say data from the company's U.S. trial may have used outdated information. The UK-produced vaccine is not yet approved for use here in the U.S., but it is in wide distribution around the world. Here's CBS's Meg Oliver.
Tonight, accusing AstraZeneca, federal health officials and an independent oversight board saying AstraZeneca presented outdated and potentially misleading data about the effectiveness of its vaccine after the company announced yesterday that the vaccine was 79% effective against COVID infections. Also expressing frustration today, Dr. Anthony Fauci.
It really is unfortunate that this happened. You know, this is really what you call an unforced error, because the fact is, this is very likely a very good vaccine.
But there's some good news tonight about Johnson & Johnson's vaccine after worries over supply shortages. The FDA late today cleared the way for a facility to help meet demand, but one other facility is still awaiting word. This is more than half the country has announced plans to make vaccines available to anyone 16 and over by the 1st of May.
We're seeing more states expand access to the vaccine, but do we have the supply?
All of that depends on the supply actually getting to states and getting to folks that can actually administer the vaccine. We haven't seen that yet.
But time may be running out. As more people travel and new variants continue to fuel a rise in cases, New York reporting its first case of a concerning variant first detected in Brazil that is more contagious, and at least 19 states now seeing a substantial increase in infections, like New Jersey, which has the third highest positivity rate nationwide and where hospitalizations have topped 2,000 for the first time in a month.
We got 12 COVID-19 admissions last night. That is a sharp increase from what we've seen over the last several weeks. In fact, it's the highest number of admissions overnight that we've had in almost 2 months.
Tonight, the uptick in the number of cases is a concern here in the New York metro area. But today, New York Mayor Bill de Blasio announced a bold move bringing back 80,000 city employees May 3rd, an effort to send the message New York is trying to return to normal. Margaret?
Trying. Thank you, Meg. Now to the crisis at the border. Tonight, the Biden administration is on track to open at least six emergency facilities to house the migrant children who are streaming into the U.S. It may not be enough. CBS's Manuel Bajorquez reports from Juarez, Mexico.
¿De dónde vienen?
Tonight, migrants keep showing up at the border.
¿Y por qué salen de Guatemala? Why are you leaving Guatemala?
Para darle una mejor vida a nuestros hijos.
A better life for your children.
We met this Guatemalan family crossing the border along with 16-year-old Isabel, who they are helping make the journey to.
¿Entonces allá no tienes mamá?
No.
¿Ni papá?
No.
¿No father, no mother? ¿Qué pasó con ellos?
Ellos están enfermos.
They're sick.
She says she's hoping to work in the U.S. to support them. Without a parent or legal guardian here, Isabel may be the only one allowed to stay in the U.S. and make her case after being picked up by Border Patrol agents. Today, U.S. Customs and Border Protection released new videos of unaccompanied minors and some adults being held at two temporary processing facilities in Texas. More than 16,000 migrant children are currently in U.S. custody, 5,000 of those in the hands of the Border Patrol, who are encountering about 530 unaccompanied minors every day. The administration is now directing shelters to fast-track the release of unaccompanied minors with a parent or guardian in the U.S. who can care for them.
And he's taking us to his backyard here.
We found this smuggler in Juarez, who spoke with us on condition of anonymity. He says he doesn't see the flow of migrants slowing down.
Even with the risk of being deported, they still want to try.
Family members in the U.S. tell them to keep trying, he says. He gave us access to his operation, the ladders used to scale the wall, and the holes in this wall to keep an eye out for Border Patrol. $1,000 for a chance to get over.
So in 6 months, 80 to 100 people have paid you to get over. Le han pagado para usar las escaleras.
But we have watched repeatedly as some migrants end up right here, the bridge leading from El Paso back into Juarez, deported and left with dire options. Try to cross again, seek food and shelter on the streets here, or return home. Margaret?
Manny Bajorquez in Juarez, Mexico. There is important news tonight about the future of the U.S. Postal Service. The Postmaster General announced today a cost-cutting plan that he says will save it. CBS's Chris Van Cleve joins us from a post office in Virginia. Good evening, Chris.
Margaret, this 10-year plan aims to take a potential $160 billion shortfall and turn it into profitability. But it could mean frustration for many Americans because the plan suggests slowing the delivery window for first-class mail from 2 to 3 days down to 3 to 5 days. Some post offices would see their operating hours cut, and postage prices are likely to rise. Without these changes, the Postmaster General says USPS will run out of money in less than a decade. The Postal Workers Union says it has deep concern over parts of the plan. Democratic lawmakers call it a non-starter. They want to see Postmaster General Louis DeJoy, a Trump appointee, fired after his moves to slow down mail delivery during the election season, but that is not a quick process. All this is happening as the post office is struggling with record low on-time delivery throughout the pandemic and the holiday season, something that continues to this day. Take this priority mail. It may say 2 days. It took 10 to get from New York to Washington just this week. Margaret?
Chris Van Cleve. Tonight, investigators are looking into the cause of a deadly fire that ripped through an assisted living home north of New York City. One resident was killed and a volunteer firefighter is unaccounted for after part of the building collapsed. At least 12 people were hurt. Prince Harry has a new job. He's been hired by BetterUp, a Silicon Valley startup that provides employee coaching for corporations. With his new title of Chief Impact Officer, the prince will help promote mental fitness. A good handyman can fix just about anything. What makes a great one? CBS's Chip Reed has the answer.
4 years ago, Tony Antonelli got a new kidney.
Good morning.
The donor was his wife, Mary. Unfortunately, last year, it started to fail.
Sure enough,
had to look for another donor.
But finding a match is difficult. Tony had only about 5 years to live. Bad news for a man with 13 grandchildren. Enter Dan Reynolds, an Army veteran who knows something about being down on his luck. He spent a few years living in a van. Even so, he's known in this Maryland neighborhood as the handyman with a heart of gold. After doing some yard work last October, Dan thought Tony looked pale and tired.
I asked him if he was okay, and he said that he had to go on a dialysis. His kidney was failing him. And I said, well, I'll be happy to give you a kidney.
In fact, he said he'd be honored. Feasible. Tony's reaction?
Stunned.
I started just crying and saying, oh, my God.
It turns out they were a match, and 4 weeks ago they underwent successful surgery.
Did you ever have a moment when you thought, why am I doing this?
No, I sure didn't.
Do you consider him a hero?
Absolutely.
But Tony and Dan have another name for each other.
We're blood brothers.
Blood brothers.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Part of the family.
A family that now has more time together.
It doesn't take much to help another human being. Just have to have some compassion.
Chip Reed, CBS News, Gaithersburg, Maryland.
Tomorrow, our series, Women and the Pandemic, the concerns created by all those cancer screenings delayed by COVID. If you can't watch live, set your DVR so you can watch us later. That's tonight's CBS Evening News. For Nora O'Donnell, I'm Margaret Brennan. Good night.
If you enjoy tuning in to the CBS Evening News, there are official T-shirts, hats, mugs, and more available for purchase at ParamountShop.com. These products are perfect for any fan of evening news, and you can take 20% off with code EVENING20. That's 20% off all CBS Evening News products with code EVENING20 at ParamountShop.com.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, early and ad-free on Wondery Plus.